Look out, the Rugby Sevens are coming, and you better get ready to have fun. The Sevens, as they are affectionately known, are a hot sports entertainment property. The game is a shortened and intense version of rugby. Now, while the Sevens look like rugby, that's because there are players attempting to move a ball down the field and across the goal line using the same rules as the full-blown game on the same field, well, that's where the comparison ends. The Sevens condense everything from the number of players per team, 7, to the number in a scrum, 3 per team, and just 5 substitutes. There are 2 7-minute halves, and everything on the field happens faster. When one game is over, the next one starts. It's a snap, snap, snap tournament. The fun seeps off the field and into the stands. Fans dress in costumes, wave flags, jump up and down, paint their faces, and thrill in the excitement both on the field and in the seats. We invited Jamie Levchuk, the managing director of the HSBC Canada Sevens, to join us for a conversation that matters about the sporting phenomenon that is sweeping the globe.
Conversations That Matter is a partner program for the Center for Dialogue at Simon Fraser University. The production of this program is made possible thanks to the support of the following and viewers like you.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Rugby Canada. Is rugby experiencing an interesting rise in popularity, and is it primarily because of rugby sevens?
I think rugby sevens is providing a great entry point for those people who aren't familiar with rugby. I mean, a lot of the rugby traditionalists think rugby 15s is the game, but it's a more difficult game to understand. That rugby sevens is much more of an entry level game. You can watch it, you know, 14 minute games, less people on the field. You can kind of figure out what's going on. So I think rugby sevens is opening the door for rugby, for those people who maybe don't know rugby so well.
Okay, well then let's talk about what's the difference between 15s and 7s.
Sure.
Because length of game, number of people on the field, all that. So let's get into the details, and then let's talk about what it is about rugby 7s that seems to ignite this interest. But I also want to talk about what are some of the other values that having this tournament, especially in Vancouver, brings to the community. But we'll get to that a little bit later. So first of all, the difference between the sevens and the 15s.
Right. So rugby 15s is the traditional form of rugby, and we play rugby union. There are different codes of rugby as well, but primarily rugby union is the one that's played mostly in the world. And 15s refers to 15 people aside, 15 versus 15 on a standard size rugby field. Mm-hmm. So what sevens did was said, you know what, let's leave the field the same size, except let's go 7 against 7.
So massive amounts of space.
Absolutely, yeah. So you're taking more than half the players off. But instead of playing a standard 80-minute game, sevens plays a 14-minute game, so 2 7-minute halves. And when first people hear that, they say, oh, you know, my God, that's incredibly short. What can happen in 14 minutes? It's amazing that there's a score usually about once every 90 seconds in a sevens game. So it's incredible end-to-end action. You know, it's really started to catch on in popularity. Just this past summer, they had World Cup down in San Francisco of sevens. So now there is a World Cup for both the sevens and the 15s. And of course, back in 2016 in Rio de Janeiro, sevens was introduced as a new Olympic sport as well. So
it's in the Commonwealth Games, it's in the Olympics, it's got its own World Championship, and the World Championship every
4 years.
Every 4 years.
Very similar to a lot of the other World Cups. So basically it's in 2 year increments. So again, World Cup was in 2018, Olympics will be 2020, and then back to World Cup in 2022.
Wow. And so it's an exciting game.
It's an incredibly exciting game. And, you know, I think in today's world where everything is 70 characters or less or a little, you know, quick picks, a 14-minute game, how good is that? It's, you know what, if you don't like this game in 20 minutes, there's going to be a new game out there. And you know, you go to one of these events and it's just, you know, rapid fire. I've just talked to people and just talking about the action that comes, you know, and again, you see different teams every 20 minutes. The crowd is incredibly animated. I still haven't really figured out where the tradition of dressing up in costume came, but that...
Right, that's what I was going to ask you. People get all dressed up, and it's, like, crazy.
Well, and that's... And again, you know, I think... One of the things we say in some of our marketing is there's sporting events and then there's sevens, and we truly actually believe that. And you know, there's an adage for the Hong Kong sevens, which is kind of the granddaddy tournament of them all.
I thought the one is it Melrose in Scotland where the game was invented. Like you know, as you talk about, we live in a world with short characters and the game's not that new.
Well, the interesting, no, it isn't new at all. It was back in the 1870s, 1880s that it actually came about. But the World Series has been around now since the mid 90s. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it's
as a result of the Hong Kong Sevens basically sort of like driving that enthusiasm.
Hong Kong and Dubai as well. Dubai holds a tournament that's going to celebrate their 50th anniversary next year as well. Wow. So those are kind of the two tournaments that really started it. And they started layering in more and more and more. And now we're up to a 10 tournament series, basically, of which, you know, Vancouver, you know, to be on the same level as, you know, Hong Kong, Dubai, London, Paris, some of these world class, Singapore, Sydney, to, you know, to see Vancouver listed among those 10, you know, world class cities, to be attracting people here. But not only that, you know, we're not exactly one of the biggest rugby playing nations, but to be on par with, you know, tournaments in England and France and New Zealand and Australia, it's, you know, kind of nice to put ourselves on the map.
I just got to get you to hang on for a second while we take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
Conversations That Matter is a not-for-profit program made possible thanks to the charitable support of the following and from viewers like you. Please visit conversationsthatmatter.tv and help us to continue to produce this program.
When did Rugby Sevens first come to Vancouver?
It came 3 years. So we've had three tournaments, and then this will be the fourth year coming up this year.
So tell me what the format is. It's basically a weekend-long tournament. Is that correct?
That's correct. So it's 2 days. We play about 17 hours over the 2 days. So, some incredible numbers. Some incredible numbers at BC Place over those 17 hours. But it's a round-robin format on Saturday. So the teams are drawn into four pools. You'll play three pool games. And then based on how you do on Saturday, they'll go into top eight and bottom eight playoffs, and then eventually
and then it's single round knockout.
It's actually a double round, but basically you've got to keep winning to win the tournament. If you do lose, you go down into lesser. But because it's a series, because there are 10 teams on the series, again, finishing 12th is better than finishing 14th, which is better than finishing 16th, because you earn points based on where you finish in each event.
And then that seeds you for the next event, does it?
It does. Your seeding is basically there, but as well, after 10 events, whoever has the most points is declared the world champion for that year. So you want, it's basically...
So it all matters.
Yeah, absolutely. It all matters. You know, even the game where you say, okay, well, these guys can't win it anymore, but it may be enough points for them to move up in the standings or move down in the standings. So, you know, somewhat analogous to, let's say, the downhill ski circuit or something like that, where they earn points and there's an overall champion.
The circuit, so how many teams are coming to Vancouver?
There'll be 16 teams. So there's 15 teams that are pre-qualified as core teams that go to every event, and then there's a regional qualifier as the 16th team that comes, and it'll be coming from South America for us. It'll be one of Chile, Uruguay, or Brazil, probably.
So they'll have a playoff to determine who's
they're going to have a tournament down there in January, to get that done, yes.
So this tournament in Vancouver really is the A level.
It absolutely is. As I said, we're one of only 10 stops on the entire series. You know, we were lucky enough to be selected to join this series, and again, alongside some very illustrious cities, and you know, really put, you know, again, we say, you know, it's more than a sporting event. Not only is it a sporting event, but it's putting our city on the international map as well.
Okay, we'll come back to that in a moment. I want to understand what the. Go ahead, drink some water. When you're out on the field, you need to hydrate, and you need to hydrate here too.
That's right.
So you show up, like, as a fan, do I buy a ticket to the whole weekend, or can I buy it per day? Like, how does that go? And then what's my experience going to be? I come in, when does it start, and then how many games am I going to see?
Yeah, so the majority of our fans do buy a two-day tournament pass. And again, we do go on sale with single-day tickets. Single-day tickets are only available in our general admission section. We do sell out all of our premium and reserve seating as two-day tournament passes. Yes,
That popular?
We were you know, about 78,000 people over 2 days. So, you know, about 39,000 a day last year.
Wow.
That came out. And to see that number of people watching rugby in Canada is pretty special.
So is BC Place just a rockin' one?
Well, these people, it's great to see, as you've mentioned before, a lot of them come in costume. It's a tradition with Sevens. Again, I don't know exactly where that started, but people try to one-up each other on the costumes. But there's also an incredible cultural representation. And we have a huge Fijian Fijian fan population here, but you'll also see Kenyan fans, you'll see Aussie fans and Kiwi fans, and they'll wind up finding each other in the GA seating and sitting together. But the great thing is it's a very friendly rivalry. Mm. And, you know, you never see any of the issues. Everyone's having a good time together. And, again, what you're going to see on day one would be 24 games. So you're going to see 24 games that basically...
24 games.
You know, every 22 minutes, two more teams run out there. And here we go. So, and, you know, between the costumes and the fun that people are having in the stands and the action on the field, it's, you know, it's an unbelievable spectacle. And the old adage from Hong Kong was, you know, if you ever get bored, you can always watch the rugby. So it's is how much fun the fans are having.
It's that much fun in the stadium.
Absolutely,
the stands,
yes.
As well as it is on the field. So 24 games, even though you're cranking out a new game every 20 minutes, it's a marathon for spectators by the time that you finish that day.
Some spectators make it a little more difficult on themselves, I'd say, by consuming some other things. But
some beverages that might heighten the excitement.
That's correct, yes. But no, it's absolutely. And it's one of the reasons why we actually are one of the few events working with BC Place, who have been a great event partner for us.
Yep.
We actually allow in and outs during our event up until 3 o'clock each afternoon. So people can come out of the stadium if they want to take a break and come back in. You know, that's been something unique for BC Place Stadium, uh-huh. not usually done with many sporting events, but just due to the length of the day, it is a nice perk for our fans to be able to, you know, sometimes get out and get a little fresh air if they need it.
This is our second break. We'll be back in a moment.
Conversations That Matter is a not-for-profit program made possible thanks to the charitable support of the following and from viewers like you. Please visit conversationsthatmatter.tv and help us to continue to produce this program.
38,000-39,000 people a day coming into the stadium area. Where are they coming from? Are they primarily from Lower Mainland, or are they traveling into Vancouver to participate and be spectators in this? It isn't interesting that I say participate, because of all the costumes and the fun, you're a spectator and a participant.
It truly is a participatory experience, for sure. A little bit of both, for sure. I mean, mm-hmm. obviously, predominantly, we are drawing from the greater Lower Mainland area. You know, we see great numbers from Alberta and Ontario. We see great numbers coming in from Washington and the west coast of the U.S. states. In fact, I think we had people from 28 different U.S. states come in. You know, wow. We see pretty good numbers from the U.K., from New Zealand and Australia. So, again, one of these events, you know, not obviously on the same level of the Olympics, but, you know, very similar in terms of, you know, a bunch of different countries coming into the city and drawing people into our city, mm-hmm. to come. And, you know, we were talking a little bit before, you know, one of our greatest, you know, achievements so far, I think, is not only do rugby fans come, but we are getting people who don't call themselves rugby fans, because right. they've heard of this event and they've seen the spectacle and they say, oh, you know, I want to be part of that.
Yeah. Well, I count me in on that. I never watched rugby. I've had no interest in it at all. But there's something about this that makes me go, okay, there's something happening over there and I want to find out what it is. And because it looks like it's a lot of fun.
And it's amazing how, you know, how that is right across. And, you know, I've had the series and I've had the opportunity to head out to Cape Town and Dubai and to London and see a few of the other events.
So how do we stack up against those?
Well, funny you should ask that, actually. We do a lot of surveying, and that's done by World Rugby, the governing body. Mm-hmm. And so they actually, after every event, they survey the players and the managers and write some reviews themselves, because they want to make sure that we keep to a great level here, because these are world-class athletes, obviously. And this past season, we were just lucky enough to receive what was called the Tournament Award. So in only year three, we were ranked by the players and the management as the top-ranked event on the series in terms of player welfare, in terms of the players and how much they enjoyed and the services that we offer here in our city and our stadium.
Well, congratulations on that.
It was a nice feather in the cap to all of our team, and this is a huge team effort with Rugby Canada and our event partners. It was great to see, and I think it speaks a little bit to Vancouver as well, that these players come in here and they really enjoy themselves here in our city.
So a past guest that we had on the show, a woman by the name of Eileen McManaman, she has a company called 5T Sports. And we talked about how do you then take an event like this that is gaining in popularity, it has a reach, it has influence, and use that audience and that power to now start to affect changes to the world in which we live. So what is it that the Rugby Sevens can bring to the community by extension that goes to kids or to, you know, a variety of other causes that might be of importance to players or teams and whatnot? How does this reach beyond just what's happening on the field?
Yeah, and it's an incredibly important thing for us to, you know, we're bringing a world-class event here with world-class teams that, you know, we want to do more than just, again, more than just the sporting event. So, and one of the unique aspects of the series is that we are paired with the USA stop of the series. So that's down in Las Vegas. So they play in Vegas the weekend before, and then they travel up here on the Monday. So they're here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, recovering and training and into Saturday, Sunday. So we're lucky enough to have these world-class teams on the ground here for a whole week. And one of the things we've instituted is each one of those teams, all 16 of those teams, goes out and does a community visit. And these are to elementary schools or to high schools or to our First Nations communities, which we're absolutely very proud to partner with. We've had a great relationship with the Squamish, the Tsleil-Waututh, and the Musqueam Nations through our first 3 years.
Well, I've been down to some of the, at Andy Livingston Park, some of the day-long workshops that they put on there with Indigenous youth. And it's really quite exceptional, both women and men. Oh, that actually raises a question. This is a tournament that has men's teams and women's teams, or just men?
At the moment, we're just men. We run our women. We run our women's event a couple months later, over on the island in in Langford, the home of Rugby Canada. Some of the tournaments do combine men's and women's together, and then others have men's and women's separate. So
third and final break. Promise. We'll be right back.
Conversations That Matter is a not-for-profit program made possible thanks to the charitable support of the following and from viewers like you. Please visit conversationsthatmatter.tv and help us to continue to produce this program.
Okay, so I cut you off there, but so you were talking about some of these programs that are put on in different schools. What's the point of reaching out to schools? What is it that you're hoping to, what's the message that you're hoping to take from people who, you know, have worked really hard in their lives to become professional athletes and become world class at it?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, that's one of the things, and we do allow, you know, we kind of have a 60-minute program when they go out there, and, you know, they run some drills with the kids, you know, obviously, you know, not just promoting the game of rugby, but promoting physical fitness and getting active and that. But we do allow for 10 minutes, you know, a 10-minute session where they can actually meet the players, talk to the players, get an autograph, talk to them about their journey and what they've done.
Be inspired by them.
Absolutely. And you've got all ranges of this, too. I mean, you've got some of the Fijian players who are coming out of, you know, quite poverty situations there, and you just get these touching moments where once down on the Musqueam Nation, so we did a visit there with Fiji, and Musqueam sang a welcome song to the Fijian team, and Fiji wanted to answer back, so sang back to the Musqueam Nation in there. So, you know, you see some of these connections.
It's quite an emotional moment, I would imagine.
Absolutely, and you see these connections with, you know, some of the Fijians and, you know, New Zealand with their Maori culture and the Samoan team. And there's a lot of connections between our First Nations groups and some of these teams. And again, just, you know, getting out to see the youth and showing these absolutely wonderful world-class athletes, and but not only are they great athletes, I mean these are guys who, again, they travel around to 10 stops a year together. They know each other quite well, so the camaraderie and the sportsmanship that's shown between teams is absolutely amazing. And you know, and even much so, the, you know, the South African team was driving home from training one day, saw a lady on the side of the road who had had a flat tire, stopped the team. Team got out, helped her change the tire on the, you know, just wonderful, you know, ambassadors for us, and absolutely great that we get the opportunity, as you said, to not just have them play a sport for us, but to get out in our community and, you know, find these touch points.
So there's going to be purists in the game who are going to go, oh, come on. Like, really? Like, we're going to get that excited about a rugby 7 when it should be 15s. I'm sure that when you first entered the world of rugby, probably as a young boy, the idea of playing 7s or being excited about the 7s was the furthest thing from your mind. Does it surprise you how excited and enthusiastic you are about this? Because it's clear that you are.
It's been amazing. And I've been involved with rugby for more than 20 years as a player, as a referee. And when I started, 7s was something you did in the summer. It was a fun thing you did as a tournament. Now, as I said, you're seeing these absolutely world-class athletes, and they're Olympians now, playing this sport. And you're also seeing that, in the November internationals, of the New Zealand All Blacks, their starting back line, of their 7 back line, 5 of them started on the 7 series. So now you're seeing...
Like, they didn't even play 15s.
No, they started in 7s and graduated into their 15s team. So now you're actually seeing it as some cross athletes as well who are between. And people are seeing the value of 7s as a development, but not only as a development, but as a standalone spectacle. And again, you know, being down at the World Cup in July, and seeing, you know, the New York Giants Stadium just absolutely filled for 3 days straight and people going crazy for the sport. Of course you're never going to win over some of the purists, but Sevens has fully established itself as a game.
One thing that I had meant to ask you when we were talking about what's the benefit back to community, I also think, and you know, let me know whether or not this is right, that rugby is a bit like soccer. The barriers to entry are very low. And so it gives access to a world-class professional sport that you don't need to have private clubs and coaches and expensive equipment. You need to have mind, body, and spirit. Is that right?
Yeah, I would say, you know, compared to some sports, you know, the equipment requirements are quite low. I mean, get a pair of boots and a mouth guard and you're pretty much set to go. At Rugby Canada, we've launched a great program called Rookie Rugby Now, which is a non-contact version of it that they're rolling out right across the country in community centers and schools. And this is to get people as young as 5, involved in the game and throwing a rugby ball around. So, absolutely, it's a great sport, and it's a sport of camaraderie. You see a lot of clubs, they not only have one team, but they'll have 2 or 3 or 4 teams. So they'll have right from a premier team all the way down to a third division team. So there's levels for people to play, but you're all part of the same, you know, conglomerate basically. And again, on the rugby field, you see big guys and you see fast guys and you see small guys and you see big guys. So it's not just, a big person sport.
So all around, Rugby Sevens is good for Rugby Canada.
We've absolutely enjoyed being part of this, for World Rugby to have given us the honor of hosting this event. And absolutely, we'd love to continue hosting this for the foreseeable future.
Well, congratulations, and let's keep it going.
Thank you very much.